Off the ball
on News Talk.
In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
All right, I'm delighted to say we've got David Herity and Aislinn Connolly on the line to help us to preview the All-Ireland Camogie final this weekend. This is the renewal of a huge rivalry, and I guess that's kind of something that is pretty easy for people to get their teeth into. You have in Kilkenny an absolute legend of the game in charge of this Kilkenny team, and you have this Cork team who obviously are festooned with All-Ireland winners and two codes. So I guess we kind of need these rivalries in all sports to help everybody to get to know teams, and also then just to make sure that when they do tune in again, Aislinn, that we have pretty high expectation of what might happen. I think last year's game wasn't a brilliant spectacle, but actually it was quite tense in the end.
Yeah, and exactly. And I do think there's going to be a lot of rivalry between these two teams, especially since Kilkenny prevented Cork last year winning the infamous three in a row, and Kilkenny went on to win then, their first in many, many years. Kilkenny have also beaten Cork this year already in the league final. And together, I don't know if you remember last year when the teams were lining out, there was a bit of a handshake incident at the start of the match, which led to the intensity, and I think it's even leading to the rivalry. So yeah, it's going to be a cracking game.
Did we ever get to the bottom of what was behind the handshake incident?
No. I think it was just heat the moment, temperatures were high, adrenaline was pumping, but it was just a bit aggro at the start.
Yeah, you know what? I think the natives, those who aren't actually one of the two counties, the neutrals all absolutely love that kind of stuff. If you're involved in the counties, you're kind of like, oh, Jesus, wait until you get on the field.
Yeah, like a lot of people commented on it that were watching it and didn't really appreciate it, and all that's kind of for role models and all that. But it's, you know, it's the heat of the moment. Everyone is so fired up, you know, shaking the hands of your opponents just before you go on to play into battle. Is hard enough to do. So I'm sure there was no bad intention there. It was just that temperatures were high.
Yeah. David, when you saw that last year, I've called the video up there and was looking at it again. And yeah, I mean, like, maybe if you're the manager, do you want your team to be doing that? Or do you kind of think, for God's sake, what are you doing getting involved?
I'd imagine it was just players themselves just thinking, I don't know, you're going down, you're shaking your hands, and obviously you don't want to give an inch straight away. And I just think it was two very fired up girls. Being Hannah Looney and Colette Dormer, like, that's the way they play. And it was just a matter of showing exactly who's boss right from the beginning. But it was sure. Look, it got a bit of extra coverage anyway, and people enjoyed looking at it. So
yeah, I think
there was nothing in it when you think about it. Like,
no,
you know,
of course.
You see a lot worse during the actual game, but I know it was interesting. Jeez, it made every single handshake after that between soccer and hurling and Gaelic interesting. Everyone was waiting for a rematch of this ever to happen. But it's unique anyway to last year's Camogie final.
Yeah, and so does it happen this year? Like, if you're involved with the teams, are you saying, you know, make sure that doesn't happen? Or are you like, just give it to them again, you know? You've set that tone.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because obviously the two of them are down to start, and I'd imagine both of them will just try and get over and get on and move on with it, especially if you're Hannah Looney. You know, the thing is, if you go out and you do that and you win, you're a genius. If you lose, you look quite, you know, foolish. So you're just trying to get through it. It's kind of funny that you're trying to concentrate on shaking hands.
Yeah,
and get that right at the start of the game. You know, there's bigger things to come after that. So I'm sure they'll just be concentrating on the matches. Yeah,
there is, but I guess in some ways, like, you know, if it can be a good thing and it can be a bad thing, right? If you play badly, everybody's going to say you got caught up in it. But if you play well, it's like you're not actually focused, or you're removing a bit of the concern and the worry about your performance because, look, I'm going to make sure this part of the day is right. I don't know. I mean, obviously, I've never been involved in that, but I guess for you guys, if you are getting into big games like that, you do want the start of the day to be something. Like Tommy Walsh recently said to us that Waterford came in against him in the All-Ireland final in 2008, I think that was, and they sent somebody on to him to give him a big dunt, and he was like delighted because it was like a jolt
in
the life.
I think you have to pick and choose who the hell you're going to do that to. Like, you can't go in. Like, Colette Dormer plays with that. She plays with a bit of fire and passion. You try and, you know, it's maybe if you're going for someone who's a little bit weaker, a bit nervous, someone who's making her debut, fair enough, but when you try and go for one of the stronger girls, the stronger willed girls, it can easily backfire. And sending, you know, Pender, which it was, out on Tommy Welch was just, you just don't do that. Like, you know, it just, especially when Tommy's not going to back off, and then straight away, you know, it just gets the whole crowd going. And then, as you say, all this kind of stuff is 50-50 hindsight, 2020 vision, sorry. In the end, you know, you win, you look brilliant, you don't, and you just look like you made a bag for it, and management made a bag for it, and it kind of comes back to management then, really. But I just imagine they'll get through the handshake tomorrow and it'll be at the left fly after that. Just looking at, you've Owen Elliott is obviously the referee tomorrow, and he's a referee who lets things go, and he lets the hard tackles go, to be honest with you. He's nearly like a hurling referee, so it makes for, you know, to be a cracker tomorrow when it comes to that. I know Cork were fierce frustrated, I think, last year anyway, especially the giveaway and off them to freeze. So, you know, discipline was an issue. The ball was brought forward a lot. So I'd imagine both teams are delighted to have Owen playing there, and I'd say it's going to be an absolute cracker there. There'll be a fair amount of hits going in.
Yeah, OK. Aislinn, Jem O'Connor is out injured with ankle ligament damage, and the kind of sense there was that this is obviously... Certainly Cork would feel one of the greatest defenders of all time being taken out of the team, and maybe Rena Buckley plays at six. Is that kind of what's expected to happen?
I think it'll be Aislinn Thompson, myself, centre-back, but it's a huge loss for Cork that Gemma isn't starting. She is, you know, one of the best defenders ever to play the game. She's such a stalwart, and she's so influential amongst the team as well. It's not just her actual hurling ability, it's her presence and her voice on the pitch. So it's a huge loss, yeah, huge blow to Cork. I think Aislinn Thompson, as I said, will pick up that position, number six, but then that leaves a kind of a hole then in midfield. Rena Buckley, I believe, will stay full back where she's been all year. So it is a big blow, and funnily enough then the key position for Cork, number six in Gemma, is also the key position for Kilkenny, with Anne Dalton playing like a deep sweeper system, and who has been playing brilliant all year. So I think from Kilkenny's point of view, they will relish the fact that Gemma isn't playing, and then in the number six position, and then Cork will have to nullify Kilkenny's number six, because which is Anne Dalton, because her defence is brilliant, and then once she gets the ball, she never gives a bad pass, and her distribution into the forwards is so well placed all of the time. So you would have said before going into the match that it's a battle of the two sixes, but now with Gemma gone, it's going to favour Kilkenny, absolutely.
David, you're just, in case anybody is unaware of this, manager of the Dublin Camogie team, and you guys came up against Kilkenny three times this summer. What did you try and do to nullify Anne Dalton when you were up against her?
Well, you're dead right. She has to, I think someone has to come out. I think someone has to sacrifice their game. The corner forward will have to sacrifice their game and come out and mark Anne Dalton. Now, obviously we did try that for the semi-final, but a bit like, you know, Larry Corbett marking Tommy Welch a few years ago in the championship, it's a lot easier said than done. A forward's natural instinct is to go for the ball and not to be marking someone. And it's Anne Dalton has such a presence there. She's brilliant at reading the game. As you said there, that, you know, when she gets the ball straight away, she's looking up, her head is up, and she's strong and she's brilliant, and her hand is excellent. Like, there's not too many second touches for someone to try and take the ball off her. Her first touch is incredible. So I do think Cork are going to have to bring someone out to try and mark her, try and do their best, and literally just sacrifice their game and just literally pin her down. But, you know, once again, that's going to leave one of the other Kilkenny backs free, whoever it is, whether it's Foley or Grace Welsh there. It's just one of those things that it's not an easy thing to do. As we've seen in the past, we tried it ourselves. It didn't, you know, go to plan on the day, no matter how much we tried it. But
you were trying to get one of the forwards to mark her. Is that how it works?
That's it. Yeah, just kind of come out and play. You know, play as an extra, basically a centre forward, and try and nullify her influence in the game. But it's you know, once again, you need a team that's going to be able to work the ball up through midfield and try and keep the ball away from her. But such is her ability to read the game, you know, she ends up being man of the match, which kind of backfired on everything. But she just has that presence. Like, she has an incredible ability just to move left and right. Everything is first touch into the hand, and then straight away she's starting the attack, every Kilkenny attack. And
is it a ludicrous notion to stick an extra defender on her?
you know what? I was actually thinking of that. It's only there this evening. I thought it was, yeah. It just dawned on me on the way down in the car. I thought, yes, would that be, because for a forward, exactly, it's alien to be marking someone, whereas the back, you know, the only thing with the back, obviously, is trying to play behind her. And, you know, once again, she's such a brilliant player. She's always out in front, and then she sets up the attack. But it's definitely something Cork are going to have, and obviously have thought about. If they look back in the video footage, they would have seen how she completely dominated that semi-final. And they're going to have to sort that out, because if there's any chance at all, it's not just that she defends, she sets up every single attack from there. And in the three times we played them there this year, especially, we've actually, we played them, was it four times actually, this whole year. She just is the key player, and then you have the two Farrells then, and then they start working it up. They have the half-forward line who come out deep, out to midfield. You know, if half-back line don't follow them, they have that ability to pick up the ball then and slot it over the bar, like to Denise Gall and Katie Power and Malone. And then if you do actually find the half-back line, follow them, they have a full-forward line then straight away that have the pace inside. So it's there's a lot of, an awful amount to think for Paddy Murray.
Yeah. Cork beat Galway in the semi, Aislinn, and they were well clear at one point in the second half, but it ends up only being a goal between them. Is that because that's how games go, or is there something in this team that actually they're not as dominant? Obviously they're not as dominant, but when they were at their absolute peak, they were matches that they would have kind of put away.
Yeah, so in the second half, Cork went 28 minutes without a score. Which is a long time to go without a score, and they'll be disappointed with that, and I'm sure it's something that they're going to work on, or that they have been working on for the match on Sunday. They just didn't seem to be able to get the scores. They weren't, like, they didn't even have much possession in the second half, and that's the thing that I worry for about them on Sunday. I think the Kilkenny forwards are a little bit pacier, as David was saying. The likes of Katie Power, Denise Gall, Shelley Farrell, Julianne Moore, who was player of the match last year, and also Danielle Morrissey, who was bred from the intermediates last year and is now starting. And also Jenny Clifford came on as from a subs point of view in the semi-final and scored an unbelievable goal. Whereas when you look at the Cork forwards, they don't seem to have too many new names. It's the old familiar faces who are absolutely brilliant without doubt, like the likes of Orla Cotter, Hannah Loomy, Katrina Mackey. But I would just be fearful that if things aren't going well, like it was in the semi final for them, that they don't have the depth in their subs bench that Kilkenny do.
Okay, so it sounds like you're leaning towards a Kilkenny win.
Yeah, I just think their defensive unit, which is led by Anne Dalton, is so strong. I think you've got your sister duo act in midfield. The mind games between them must be, you know, they're able to read each other's play so well. And then you've got the forwards who are lively, pacey, able to catch strong in the air, the likes of Katie Power and Denise Gall. And then, you know, if things aren't going well, they have a strong bench to pull from. Like when you look at the likes of Colette Dormer and Michelle Quilty and Marion Frisby, all in the subs. Like, that's a strong pool of subs to pull from.
And Downey's career is not bad, is it, David?
No, she's done well for herself. Yeah, no, there was, I remember a few years ago, obviously before she took charge, you know, anyone who was listening away, obviously down here to local radio, can understand that we knew that the tide of Camogie was eventually going to change with Kilkenny. They couldn't keep going with barren years there. Obviously, it was 22, and it was massive, really, especially with the talent that was coming through. They were winning the under-16s, they were winning minors, they were winning colleges. So this group of players was always coming. You knew that Kilkenny would eventually, you know, get themselves over the line and win that All-Ireland, and all they needed was someone who's fairly ruthless. And, you know, anyone who knows Anne on the sideline, she's a shrewd operator. She's tough, and you know that she's tough, and she's exactly what Kilkenny needed to try and get that winning mentality into their head. And also, she brought in a brilliant backroom team as well, like obviously with Conor Phelan and Paddy Mullally as well, previous senior All-Ireland winners.
Yeah.
So they got themselves a brilliant management team there together. And, you know, you look at what they've won since they've taken over, they've basically won four of the last five trophies. And, you know, it's well documented down here that they're going for the double-double of the league. the league, All Ireland League, and now they're going for the All Ireland again. So it's an incredible record to have that, and to be going in there once again to try and win the All Ireland. And looking at the form that they're bringing it in, was they're, you know, only conceding 10 points roughly on average per game. It's very hard to see how, you know, any team is basically going to score that and manage to still keep them down with the set of forwards that they have.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, whatever happens, enjoy the game. Ashlyn, David, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks,
sir. Take care.
Off the Ball on Newstalk. In association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.